Before our ladies come and sing for us, let's turn our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture, and our ladies will come sing for us, and then we'll go right into the message this morning. Victory over temptation. Victory over temptation. Luke chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse number 1. Luke 4 and verse number 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and that whosoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And dear friends, it's only for a season when he comes and goes. He always returns. Ladies, you'll come sing for us. Christ is all I need. Amen. What a blessing. Tell you what, the more the world needs to acknowledge that, don't they? You bear with me. I'm trying to turn this fan on underneath here. There we go. How many of y'all feeling a little cool? All turns all right. How many of y'all feeling a little warm? Okay, you can switch seats if y'all want to. That's okay. You're welcome to bring a blanket, but please don't bring a pillow. I am a little warm-natured, but I also move around in the pulpit a lot. Please bear with me. I've only been here 3 months. I know there's some changes. I preach a little longer. We sing a little more music. I didn't come to church to leave, folks. Amen. Come on, amen. I didn't come to leave. I'm going to eventually leave because I'll get hungry. But I didn't come to leave. I come to worship, come to have a good time. I enjoy the special music. I enjoy the choir music. And be quite honest with you, I enjoy the opportunity of sharing the Word of God. And so we want to be a blessing and help to you. If you're visiting with us for the first time or the first time in a long time, I'll tell you what I tell all visitors. We think the looking has stopped. This is it. But we also know the reality is we're not for everybody. And we want you to find that home that God wants you at. And I will do all I can to help you, encourage you to find that place. But if this is where God wants you, I'm glad you're here. And we'll have an opportunity to talk a little bit more. We're excited about what the Lord has done over the last 3 months. We're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in the head moving forward in the future. And we do ask that you continue to pray for me, for my wife, for the leadership here at the church as we strive to work together, serve together, and just enjoy ourselves. All right, let's go ahead and get started this morning. Victory over temptation. You ever been tempted? I don't know about you. When I read this passage of Scripture, I think to myself, the audacity of the devil, the audacity of the Satan. I mean, what a backbone he must have. Offering the Lord what he already owns. Offering to him and giving him what he can have. But we know that if he's going to tempt our Lord, he's going to tempt us as well. Satan does not want us to experience victory over any struggle or over any spiritual conflict that we have in life. Scripture and experience tells us that our adversary, the devil, is constantly seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, we know that Christ was 100% God and 100% man, and that there was no possibility that he would give in to temptations of Satan. Yet, as our ultimate example in holy and godly living, he gives us a pattern for victory over temptation and a way to seek him in every situation. We must understand and realize, for many of us, as we age and get a little bit older, we may not be able to get into much as we used to, but it still doesn't mean we don't get tempted. You don't age out of temptation. You don't. In fact, you don't even age under temptation. It doesn't matter. If you're awake and you're above ground, you can be tempted of the devil. And we just need to be aware and be alert and be on guard. The Bible tells us there in verse number 1, he says he was led by the Spirit, speaking of our Lord. He followed obediently. Let me tell you what, folks. Following the Lord and being obedient will keep us out of most of the trouble that we get into. Just being obedient. The word tempted means to try or test or entice with evil. Temptation will begin and consume unless you have a plan to deal with it. Have a plan of attack, knowing that Satan is going to make his way in, but what am I going to do? How often do we recognize the signs and then yield to them? Now, I know you don't do this in Arizona because I've driven on your interstates. But most places, when you drive on the interstate and you see a police officer, the first thing you do is let off the gas, cover your brake, and look at your gas speedometer all at the same time, except in Arizona. You know, you want to make sure that you're under the speed limit. You're worried because there's that warning sign. There's a police officer. There's the red lights. There's the blue lights, whatever lights you may see, and you slow down. Shouldn't we do the same thing in our spiritual life when the devil shows himself that warning that we need to slow down? We need to check ourselves. As my girls used to say, I've shared this before, check yourself before you wreck yourself. We need to be on guard and we need to be careful because he is good at what he does. The word devil in Hebrew means to oppose, obstruct, or to accuse. And the Greek term here used as Satan literally means adversary. He is our enemy. Satan is the adversary of God, and therefore he's the adversary of God's people. He is an accuser. He's compared to Belial, devil, the enemy, the evil one, father of lies, Lucifer, Satan, devil, tempter, and the list goes on. Dear friends, Satan wants to ruin any and all Christ-like testimonies. If God could hurt your testimony, if the devil could cause you to slow down in service for him or cause you to yield to temptation instead of yield and fleeing from temptation, if he can hurt your testimony, damage your testimony, then he knows it will impact others that are watching your life as a believer. Dear friends, may I submit to you this morning that every believer must recognize the attacks of Satan and where our victories come from. We need to recognize this attacks, recognize whom he is and where he comes from. And I know some of you may be looking on the board and you see Satan, it's got that little S as a proper name. I'm not giving him any respect at all. And we need to be guard and realize he's also the same thing for us. He will not give us any. Let me share a few thoughts with you this morning. Number one, the devil will eventually attack. The devil will eventually attack. It says in verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Well, let me challenge you a little study as you read this passage everywhere it says, if thou be the Son of God, he says, command the stone that it be made bread. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Dear friends, he attacks with temptation. The devil will eventually attack, and when he does, he uses all forms of temptation. And what we need to understand and realize is that he will eventually attack. In fact, let me give you another warning. Eventually, those state troopers will start giving out. Yeah, they're just setting you up to get comfortable, to drive 120 miles an hour down there. They will eventually give you a ticket. In fact, the devil will eventually attack you. It may be going well today. It may have gone well last week. But let me rest assured, while he's busy with someone else, he has not forgotten you or he has not forgotten I. He attacks with temptation. Satan always comes when we appear weak. Jesus was hungry and in a hot, barren Judean wilderness. It's fixing to get real hot around here, they keep telling me. This will be my first summer. That's what they keep saying. And just as sure as I know the heat is coming, I also know the heat of temptation from Satan is on his way as well. And just like our Lord, who allowed himself as man, though God, to be tempted, to be hungered, to be tired, to be fatigued. Dear friend, it is a dangerous time in a Christian's life when we are tired, when we are hungry, or when we are sick, because we are vulnerable to self-pity. And dear friends, if you don't believe me, try journaling when you're really sick and then come back and read later. Fatigue plays a role on the mind, plays a role on the body. Being hungered. The worst thing in the world to be when you're on a strict diet is to be hungry. It's like, where is that? What do I need? And at the same time, when we're sick and weak, I put two words together by mistake. When we're fatigued and we're tired and we're weak, and let me encourage you, you can still lay in the bed and talk to God. You can still lay in the bed and read or listen to your Bible. He's going to do all he can to attack you when you're vulnerable, when you're weak. Satan always comes when we're weak, but also notice that Satan wanted Christ to misuse his power. He knew what the Lord could and could not do. He wanted the Lord to misuse his power. There was nothing wrong with bread. It is not sinful, unless you're on the Atkins diet. It is not sinful. We can't eat bread. It was good for the Lord to have bread or to have something to drink, but he was trying to tempt him. There was nothing wrong with it. The power of Jesus Christ was not used on himself, but was used to demonstrate his deity to others. The Bible tells us in Matthew 26:42, and he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And then in John 4:34, he says, Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You see, Satan wanted Christ to misuse his power. And dear friends, we need to be careful that we don't allow Satan to use our ego, and I'll get to more of that a little bit later, and other situations to cause us to fall or cause us to sin. Victory over temptation. Not only do we see that he attacks with temptation, but letter B, notice that he attacks by offering false power. He attacks by offering false power. In verse 5 and 6 in our text, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. See, Satan tries to keep Christ from going to the cross. Satan tempts Jesus with the power and authority of this world. He tempts to have Christ to worship him. This temptation was based on Satan's temporary power that was allotted to him. Satan has taken many godly Christians to a mountain and offered them power and prestige if they would only follow his plan. Dear friends, think about that just for a moment. How many pastors, how many missionaries, how many evangelists, how many good, godly people began with a good heart, a good motive, thinking doing the wrong thing, and have allowed the temptation of the extra, of the dollar. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with money. I've got some in my wallet, but it doesn't control me. We need to make sure, we need to be on guard and realize that Satan doesn't use things that cause us to stumble in offering that false power, that false sense of security, that even that false wealth. Satan will tempt with wealth, success, fame, or position. Like a good fisherman, he knows what will attract our attention. For you fishermen out there, you know there's some lures we throw out there and work. Works really well one day and not the next. It may depend upon the shining sun, the heat of the day, the rain, the cloud in the water. There's different types of bait for different types of situation. And dear friends, Satan knows exactly our weaknesses, our shortcomings. He knows exactly what's worked in the past, and he knows what may work again. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15-16 says, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. He attacks by offering false power. And dear friends, we live in a beautiful state. It's a wonderful thing. I'm looking forward. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the heat if it just burns off that pollen. I'm looking forward to it. But I also know with all this beauty and all this sunshine, all this opportunity to get out and to go and to do, I still need to keep God first. He needs to be the main thing. And if we're going to have victory over temptation, we need to remember to keep the Lord in his preeminence, in his place where he belongs as believers. Because the devil, not only will he eventually attack, he is good at what he does. He uses temptation. He uses false power. But also notice letter C, he attacks by suggesting greatness and exaggeration. In verse 9 and verse 10 of our text, and he brought to him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And as we read this again in verse 11, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. Dear friends, Jesus is at the pinnacle of the temple here in Scripture, some 700 feet above the Kidron Valley. And the devil knows the Bible and he quotes it. However, he does not know the author of the Scriptures. Beware, my friends, cults know some Bible as well. I mean, how many times does the devil even say in Genesis, yea, have God said? And here again, he tries to tempt the Lord with Scripture, and the Lord answers with Scripture every time. And that's why it's important that we hide the Word of God in our hearts, that we might not sin against Him. We need to call on Scripture when temptation comes, just like Jesus did, because He attacks by suggesting greatness, and He uses great exaggeration. You see, God's way of redemption was not exaggeration, but the cross. But the cross. Christ did not come merely to stir the emotions and to do miracles. He came to speak the truth. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And dear friends, we need to realize and remember, just if Satan has the audacity and the nerve, the backbone to tempt the Lord, to tempt Jesus himself, do you not think he's going to try the same methods with us? And even go beyond those methods and things that we know are weaknesses. In fact, if you think about it just for a moment, not now, a little bit later, make note of your weaknesses spiritually, things that you have problems with, that you've had problems with over your life of being a Christian, and even some of those that you would say, well, I've got that licked. Be careful. Haughty spirit, prideful heart, be careful. He will use those things in the past that has worked and continue to use them going forward, because we are only flesh and blood. We need to be aware. We need to be alert. We don't need to be fearful. We just need to be on guard and alert and be aware of his tricks. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and the man Christ Jesus, whom gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Dear friends, the glory belongs to the Lord, and Satan hates that. All the glory belongs to him. All the glory. He is not happy about us being here today. He is not happy about us raising our voices in song. He's not happy about us worshiping, giving of our tithes and offering. He's not happy about us going around shaking hands and saying hello and welcoming brothers and sisters in Christ. He is not happy with us lifting our voices in song. And dear friends, we need to remind ourselves, the more we make him mad, the more we agitate things, the more attacked that he is. But we don't need to fear, because we know who's on our side. But we also know we need to face the reality of the temptation and our weakness and to be prepared. To be prepared. I like to use sports analogy a lot, and I realize that it may not be for everyone, but you just bear with me. Let the preacher have a few moments for himself here. I loved baseball growing up. I still love baseball. And I'm referring to about how the devil uses things and how we need to prepare. And every time we played in an opponent, and against a team that had threw a ball a certain way, a fastball really fast, or had a good curveball, my dad would work with me every evening when he got off work, and we'd go out in the yard, and he would throw me curveballs if we facing a pitcher that had a good curveball to help me to get adjusted to it. He would move up closer on the mound to home plate so he could throw really hard so the ball would get, well, he's throwing just as hard, but the ball would get there faster to help me to get my timing down for someone who threw hard, to make it practice so that when I got up and that curveball came, I recognized it. When I got up and the fastball came, it didn't look like an aspirin, because what my dad was throwing were aspirins last week. I was ready for it. I prepared. And dear friends, there's things that we can do to prepare for what Satan has for us. And part of that is not only getting in the Word and spending time in prayer, but spending time in fellowship with one another, encouraging one another, sharing one another's burdens as we do on Wednesday night and other services. We lift up one another in prayer. He attacks, again, by suggesting greatness and exaggeration. The glory, if we remember, belongs to him. The devil will eventually attack. And when he does, Scripture is our authority. Scripture, number two, is our authority. Scripture provides a promise of escape. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 through 14, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but withal will the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Again, it tells us in Psalm 119, verse 10 and 11, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God." Are we looking for a way of escape when Satan comes by, when he tempts us and he offers those temptations? Are we allowing the Scripture to be our authority in answer to that? So often we get things in reverse, or we forget how we can use the same tactics in one area and another when Satan attacks. Let's all pretend just for a moment. Remember when you were 8, 9, 10 years old? Maybe a little bit younger. When you knew you were getting into something that you were not supposed to be getting into, what did you do? You looked around to make sure nobody was looking. Or if you're like me, you got your younger brother, go around the corner and look to make sure nobody was coming. Yeah, I was 7, 8, 9 years old one time to make sure nobody was observing. This isn't what we always forget to do. We forget to do this, don't we? We forget to look up. We forget to remind ourselves that the Lord is watching. He sees, he hears, and everything that we do. And we also can use that to our advantage, knowing that the Lord also sees what Satan does to tempt us. He also recognizes that we are under temptation. He also recognizes our weakness, and he can help us through Scripture to bring those things back that we need, because Scripture provides a promise of escape. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin to God." Not only does Scripture provide a promise of escape, Scripture provides a way of escape. Again, look at what the Lord does in verse 4 and verse 8 and verse 12, and we'll look at these. Notice each response of our Savior. "Man shall not live by bread alone," in verse number 4. Even though he is tempted, his response was, in Deuteronomy 8:3, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy father know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, that the Lord," "doth man live." Dear friends, the way to spiritual life and vitality is to live by the word of God. Dear friends, it really doesn't matter how many times we've read it. We need to reread it. We're never too old to learn new Scripture. We're never too old to add to our arsenal. You have all these tools, these equipment, your arsenal to help you to prepare. Should we not as well in the spiritual realm have access and know and have a good arsenal to defend us against the wiles of the devil? And we find that in the Word of God. That needs to be our daily food, is what we should dine on a regular basis. I mean, there are some Sundays, I'm just going to poke fun at some people. They know who they are, just a lot of fun. There are some Sundays I wonder and I think, Culver's again? But you know, I never want to think about that when I open my Bible. I never want to think that again. I never want to think Matthew again. I never want to think the book of Philippians again. I never want to think the book of Colossians. Whatever I'm reading, I want to take and approach the same excitement and zeal that when I read it for the 100th time as I did the first time that I ever read it. I said, Lord, show me something in here that I've never seen before. Folks, I don't know about you. I'm 59. I'll be 60 if the Lord tarries come November, and I make it that long. The way some of you all drive out on the interstate, I wonder. Anyway, I really, as I read the Word of God, I get excited when I see something that I've never seen before. Yeah, I do. I get really excited. I think, wow, it's been there all these years, and I just now seeing it? Sometimes it's to benefit me. Sometimes it's to benefit me by preaching and teaching that may benefit you as my congregation. I get excited, and folks, that arsenal is there. And Scripture provides a promise, but also provides a way of escape if we will take the avenue. If we'll do what's possible to do, if the Lord provides a way. Let's move on. Those that are tempted. Let's go ahead. I got a little time. Let's go ahead and cover these real quick and we'll move over. Not only do we see man shall not live by bread alone, but in verse 8, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 6:13 tells us, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him. So we need to realize that not only shall man shall not live by bread alone as our necessary food, our way of escape, but we must understand that we shall worship the Lord thy God. And then number three, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God in verse number 12. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 6:16, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God. And dear friends, our weapon is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and we need to be familiar with it. I mean, some of us could put a weapon together, take it apart blindfolded in record time. There's other things that we can do through our home, is we can get through our house being dark and find our way around because we know the area, unless you just moved in or your wife likes to move furniture, it gets a little rough, but you can usually see. You know, if we get to where we know the passage of Scripture that we need to know that well, temptation, though it come, will be a much easier hurdle knowing and hiding the word of God in our heart than it would be if we're not prepared or if we're unprepared. Dear friends, the devil will eventually attack. And when he does attack, Scripture is our authority. Number three, those that are tempted have assurance of victory. Though we be tempted, we still have assurance of victory. See, the word of God assures victory. In the book of Luke chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. See, one of our Baptist distinctives is our belief of the authority of Scriptures. The word of God is our authority in faith and practice. Let me go a little further. It's our final authority in faith and practice. To believe and practice the authority of Scripture and to claim the authority are two different things. All the answers are here, but it's one thing to believe them. It's one thing to practice them, but it's something else just to be aware. But it's even more so to claim it. Dear friends, are we claiming the authority that we have in Scripture? Folks, I don't know about you. I've got no problem telling the devil to go back where he came from. With the authority of Scripture. And that's what we have. We need to realize those that are tempted have assurance of victory. The word of God assures victory, but also, letter B, submitting to God assures victory. Here's our biggest problem. We have a problem letting God be God. Just let Him be God. Let Him be their master. Let Him be your Savior. Let Him be your Lord. Let Him guide your life. Let God be God. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You see, some people fall into temptation, but a great many make plans for disaster ahead of time. Think about that for a moment. Are we preparing? Are we making plans? See, some people, they do fall into temptation. But again, a great many make plans for disaster ahead of time. How do we fear? How do we prepare? What is it that we fear? What is it that Satan can do to us that makes us afraid? What is it that Satan tempts us with that we are concerned about? See, we have the authority of the Word of God, and submitting to God assures us victory. Allow God to rest. Excuse me, allow yourself to rest in Him. Now, we have 8 grandchildren. And I've noticed that no matter what their age, or what stage of life, I have noticed something about them. When they're afraid, or when they're nervous, when they're intimidated, when they're unsure, they stand a lot closer to the papa's hip. Because they know there's safety there. And dear friends, we should approach life the same way. When we're concerned about something, we're tempted, we have fear, why not step a little closer to the Lord and to His Word? We hide enough of His Word in our heart, we can recall it. I mean, I even have a teenage son who's a football player, been offered a scholarship to go on to the next level next year. Sometimes he thinks he's a man's man, but we go walking in the woods and the twig breaks, he jumps a little bit closer to me every single time. It's human nature. Michelle jumps in my lap when she hears a twig break. It's human nature. And we're going to fear, but why not just begin our walk in our day not being concerned about where the Lord is and where we have to run to Him? Why not just go ahead and start our day with Him and take Him with us? Just take Him with us. In fact, how many places would we not go this week if we keep in our mind, think in our mind that the Lord is with me? How many places might we go that we normally would not go because we know the Lord is with us? Are we allowing Him to have free reign? Are we allowing Him to work in our life? Are we walking close to Him and asking the Lord to not only embrace us, but to help us. The word of God assures victory. Submitting to God assures victory. And letter C, resisting the devil assures victory. Again, back in our verse that we used in the beginning, in our introduction, 1 Peter 5, 8, 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, knowing that the same afflictions resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Dear friends, if you don't want a rotten apple, get out of the devil's orchard. I don't know who said it. I found it, wrote it down, and I've kept it notes in some of my notes. Too often we say maybe when we should say no. So often that we just, well, maybe. No, why not just completely resist the devil? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. He doesn't walk around in a red suit and a pitchfork. He lies around in plain sight. So much to the point that we almost get used to seeing him there. I mean, there are some places in this county that there's no way, no how, I would ever even pull in their parking lot, much less use them to turn around. There are some places in this community I want to stay far away from because of the temptation and because of, not only that, because of protecting my testimony. See, I'm concerned. The devil wants to ruin your testimony. If he can mess up your testimony, what could he do other than, well, here's what he can do. He can pull others farther away that are watching your life. See, much as we hate to admit this, but we need to be reminded regularly, more likely than not, there is someone watching and observing your life, especially if you've ever invited them to church or told them about the Lord. Because they want to see if it's real. They want to see if it's just, that's just a Sunday thing, or it's just talk. Or do you really mean what you say? And this by us damaging, harming, hurting our testimony, we could also push somebody a little further away instead of drawing them closer together. Dear friends, we are going to be tempted, but we have assurance of our victory. The word of God assures us victory. Submitting to God assures us victory. And resisting the devil assures us victory. How are we resisting him? What methods are we using? What paths are we taking? How are we preparing our the spiritual man, the spiritual woman, to go out and into the community each and every single day? He knows our pattern. He knows our way of thought. He knows our weaknesses. He knows when we begin. I tell you what, the most mishaps we have in our home, should rephrase that. Most mishaps we have for me in my life in the morning, I like a schedule, okay? I don't live and die by the schedule, but I like a schedule because it keeps me on track. But if the devil disrupts my morning and I've got a meeting later in the morning that I cannot cancel, he's going to do all he can to make sure that I get my Bible reading taken away from me. He's going to make sure that my prayer time is not there like it should be. Well, wait a minute, preacher, you read and study the Bible, or you preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and have Sunday school lesson at 7. Yeah, but I need it for me. That part is for you. That part of study for Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, and Wednesday night is for you. I need something for me and my personal walk, my personal life. Sometimes those develop into, and I journal and I make notes on occasion and write down things that turn into sermons or series later, but it's for me. And you need to have the same thing for you as well. And by the way, let me go a step further. Not only do you need to have a relationship, your lost neighbor needs you to have a relationship. Amen? Not only do you need to have a relationship with the Lord, your lost family member or lost friends need for you to have a relationship. Not only that, your children, your grandchildren, even though they know the Lord, they need you to have a good relationship because you set the example and a pattern for them to strive for. Because after all, what little kid doesn't want to be like dad? What little child doesn't want to be like Peppa or Grams or Grandma or Grandpa or Aunt or Uncle? They idolize those sometimes that are older than them. They look up to them, and we should set the example in that area to help them. In verse number 13, and we'll come to a conclusion this morning, it says, when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. He departed from him. Thank God that our Lord led the way in facing and defeating temptation. But as the Bible says, he departed for a season. And dear friends, too often we say maybe when we should be saying no to the temptation around us. Too often we think we're safe and we're in a comfort zone and we put off another day or we put off to another hour and the end of the day never comes. Dear friends, Jesus Christ understands temptation. Hebrews 4, chapter 15 and 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Here it is in the Word of God. It's spelled out. He's there to provide grace and mercy in the time of need. We're to come boldly before the throne of grace, knowing that the devil will attack. He does frequently. And though he attacks, Scripture is our authority. And when we are tempted, we have assurance of victory because of Scripture and because of his example. Let's not step into a situation defeated already. Let's not wring our hands and worry about what the devil's going to do today or tomorrow. Let him bring his best game. Let him bring his A game because I'm prepared. I'm going to spend time with God. We don't need to be cocky or overconfident, but what I'm saying is preparation allows us to be ready. Miss Michelle, if you come to the piano. Jesus went to the cross in order that we might be saved. And dear friends, when temptation comes, and it will, focus on the temptation. Don't focus on the temptation, but focus on Christ. Dear friends, this morning, do you know Christ? Do you know that you know that you know if you died today that you would go to heaven? Have you trusted him as your personal Savior? And dear Christian, resisting temptation and the ploys of Satan are hard enough for the world. But can you imagine what it'd be like as an unbeliever, but to face them alone without Christ? I can't imagine to go through some of the hardships my wife and I have gone through, some of the hardship my family have gone through, some of the hardships we've seen through the years on the mission field here in Stateside. I can't imagine what it would have been like of not knowing the Lord. And that's why we need to continue to live out that right testimony, to live out that right life and encourage our friends and encourage the others that are watching our life that they can trust us as we trust the Lord in our relationship. D.L. Moody said, trying to understand the Bible without knowing the Lord is like trying to read a sundial without the sun. Dear friends, if you're walking through life without the sun, the S-O-N, you must be struggling. Let's all stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around this morning. We'll have a word of prayer and our pianos will begin playing in a moment. I'm wondering, I can't help but to wonder this morning. There's somebody here that doesn't know that they're saved. Somebody here that doesn't know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. Why not trust the Lord today? Why continue a life of being tempted by Satan, going through the difficulties and hardship, and not having the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, why not come even now and to up front and let somebody pray with you? Somebody take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. Better yet, if you're a little hesitant and you're not sure that you're ready to talk to someone, there's no one looking but me. Maybe you just raise your hand up and down and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved." Anyone like that this morning? Anyone at all? "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I have a home in heaven. Would you pray for me?" Maybe there's a Christian here today and I'll begin to pray and you can respond to the invitation. Maybe the devil's been working overtime. Maybe the temptation has been overwhelming. Maybe you've really been going through it. Can I encourage you this morning? Though the attacks of the tempter come, we still have the authority of Scripture. We still have the assurances of those of those that are tempted. We have that authority through Scripture. Why not come to the altar and give it to him? Why not come and say, "Lord, I'm tired of the temptation. I'm tired of the struggles. I'm tired of being defeated. Lord, I just want to claim the victory through Scripture. I want to claim the victory through my salvation, knowing that I have your help." And then ask the Lord to help you to live a life that's more pleasing to him. A life that is more vocal. A life that is more bold in sharing others with Christ. Dear friends, if the God has spoken in your heart, why not come this morning as I pray? Father, you know the needs that are represented. Father, you know this morning, under the sound of my voice, are those that maybe need to trust Christ and maybe a little hesitant. There may be Christians that are struggling, that are having a difficult time with temptation, that are struggling in your Christian walk. Don't feel like they've grown in the Lord the way they have. Maybe they should have been growing. Lord, would you help them? Would you encourage them? Would you help them to make decisions for the Lord? We ask in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes